President Joe Biden visited La Crosse this week to promote a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. La Crosse is in a purple congressional district that will be one of the most contested in the nation in 2022.
The bipartisan infrastructure deal nearly fell through in Congress last week after the president appeared to threaten to veto it. We're talking now about President Biden's visit to Wisconsin and some of the unique quirks of Wisconsin politics.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Were you there for Biden's visit to La Crosse? What do you think about the infrastructure plan? What other Wisconsin issues do you want Washington to take seriously in the coming months? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
Craig Gilbert is Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, it's nice to be with you.
What did we hear from the president in this visit to La Crosse about this infrastructure plan?
Well, he's working hard to promote this plan and kind of navigate some tricky political waters right now. I mean, he's trying to seal a bipartisan deal that was negotiated with a bipartisan group of senators, including some of the most moderate senators in both parties. And he faces, some obstacles in both parties. I mean, obviously, most of the Republican Party is not with him. And there are progressives in the Democratic Party that would like to see a different kind of infrastructure bill. In fact, the House just passed their own infrastructure bill, which looks a little different from what the Senate has negotiated. So, he's trying to get a bipartisan infrastructure deal through Congress at the same time he's sort of pursuing a second track legislatively, where he's trying to do a sort of Democratic-only, larger and more expensive spending plan that goes beyond infrastructure and includes some social spending as well.
The president was originally supposed to, I understand, visit Spring Green to talk about agriculture issues, including the crisis faced by small dairy farms in the state. What do you make of this switch over to La Crosse and from agriculture to infrastructure? I know Republicans and even some farm groups were a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little odd. I mean, it's not too often where you have a presidential visit and they kind of announce, one kind of trip with one kind of message and then really switch gears. I mean, same part of the state, but a very different trip. I mean, the trip we thought we were getting was a trip kind of focused on the rural economy, talking to farmers. It would have included a farm visit. And I think the politics of the infrastructure fight in Washington sort of overtook that, especially when the president had a stumble and kind of after striking this deal with a handful of Republican senators, said some things that imperiled the deal from that point of view and had to do some scrambling to try to put it back together again. So it was odd. I mean, the Republicans, sort of portrayed it as an abandonment of farmers. I think, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a farm trip by President Biden sometime in the not too distant future as sort of a makeup. But, we'll have to wait and see if that happens.
Let's talk about the where now, Craig. Southwestern Wisconsin, you and I have talked about this region of the state a lot. Why is this a place that looks like an attractive place to visit for a president?
So it's a very swing area. It's, southwestern and western Wisconsin and kind of the Fox Valley have become the most purple kind of key strategic areas in Wisconsin, if you look at the political map when it comes to statewide elections. But it has this really unusual history for a mostly, a heavily rural and heavily white part of the country that has been to be that purple. And in fact, including a lot of places that had been voting Democratic consistently for president going back to the 1990s and the late 80s. And that changed in 2016. There were big swings as they were in other rural parts of Wisconsin. And so now it's very 50-50. It's, if you look at the Driftless area, which includes a lot of the more rural counties, or even if you look at just sort of the general lacrosse media market, it's very even. And even though Democrats have lost ground, they're still competitive in these places. And not a ton changed between 2016 presidential and 2020 presidential. I mean, the only thing that really changed is that the more urban parts of western Wisconsin, you know, small cities, even smaller than La Crosse, got a little more Democratic, whereas the countryside, after swinging heavily in 2016, you know, even did a little bit better for Donald Trump. So the Democrats really have their work cut out for them in trying to win back some of that rural vote. They're on a little more favorable ground than they are in a lot of other rural parts of Wisconsin. But this makes this a real battleground, and not only at the presidential level, not only in the big statewide races for Senate and for governor in the upcoming midterms, but also a very critical U.S. House race.
Let's talk about that House seat now. I mean, Congress, the House, is packed with a lot of safe seats for both sides. This is not one of them. Can you talk about that district and why it can be such a tight race?
Yeah, I mean, it's become such an unusual district. If you look at the incumbent, Ron Kind, he's been in Congress for 24 years. You know, this area was represented by a Republican, Steve Gunderson, before Ron Kind. So it has this, you know, kind of swingy voting history. But Ron Kind had, you know, he's been a pretty much of a fixture in that district for a long time. We're talking about Wisconsin's third congressional district. It's by far the most competitive in terms of its makeup congressional district, House district in the state of Wisconsin. But again, the swings toward Trump in 2016 and 2020 meant that, you know, it's a district that has now voted twice by small margins for president. And now you have only seven districts in the country that voted Republican for president in 2020, but Democratic for Congress, and not by much. Ron Kind only won his 2020 reelection by less than 3 points against Derek Van Orden, and he's going to face the same opponent this time around. So it's one of a handful of top tier House races. It's one of a handful of top Republican targets when you're talking about Democratic incumbents in the country. So we don't get a lot of, you know, just super expensive, high attention congressional races in Wisconsin, as competitive as the state is on a statewide level. Most of its House races are not that competitive, but this is going to be a real different kind of House race, and you're going to see a ton of national attention. A lot of money, a lot of spending, maybe more presidential visits as well.
Talking to Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at President Biden's trip to Wisconsin, to La Crosse in particular, the politics of the state, pretty evenly divided, and one of the most watched areas of the country in southwestern Wisconsin. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you live in that third district, the southwestern part of the state, love to hear your read on local politics there. Also, why do you think Wisconsin has one of the strangest pairs of senators in the country? A conservative Republican, a liberal Democrat. How did we elect both? Share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. And Craig, you wrote about Wisconsin's odd couple in the U.S. Senate, a Democrat and a Republican, which is pretty rare, but it's even weirder than that. Spell it out for us, please.
Yeah, so what we see nationally is it used to be quite common for a single state to have senators from both parties. In fact, if you go back a couple of decades, I mean, you know, in some cycles, half of the 50 states had a Republican senator and a Democratic senator. It's become increasingly uncommon because, you know, we've seen states sort themselves into red and blue. And then as politics has been nationalized, a lot of states and districts are voting the same way for Congress as they are for president. So the result is we're down to only six states that have senators from both parties. People call these split Senate delegations. Wisconsin is one of those six. But it's really kind of interesting when you look at, you know, those six states. You know, two of them, West Virginia and Montana, are very Republican states. And so they have two of the least liberal Democratic senators, John Tester in Montana and Joe Manchin in West Virginia. And some of these other states, you know, most of these split Senate delegations, even over history, have contained, you know, at least one or possibly two senators from the moderate wings of their parties. What I didn't realize when I started looking into the history of this is how unusual it is historically, not just today, but over, you know, the last multiple decades, to have the same state represented for any length of time by a liberal Democrat and a conservative Republican. I mean, that just doesn't happen very often. And so it turns out that, you know, there are kind of ways to measure this using roll call voting in Congress. The political scientists have a method for measuring, you know, taking all the roll call votes for how dissimilar one senator's voting record is from another. And Tammy Baldwin, the Senate Democrat from Wisconsin, and Ron Johnson, the Senate Republican from Wisconsin, are historically dissimilar in their voting records. In fact, I had to go back to the 1990s to find a pair of senators as dissimilar as our two current senators, and it was Paul Wellstone and Rod Grams of Minnesota. And then I had to go back to the 1940s or late 40s and early 50s to find another analog in two senators from Idaho, and that's about it. You know, so they're really historic in a historic odd couple. It's quite remarkable.
Right now, we're picking up our talk with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief Craig Gilbert about President Biden's visit to Wisconsin earlier this week and some of the unique twists and turns of Wisconsin politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think national politicians, like from the White House, for example, need to know about Wisconsin? What do you want to see and hear from a president or a future presidential candidate? What is important to you from them? And what is it about Wisconsin politics that we have, as Craig Gilbert was just telling us a few minutes ago, almost a uniquely divided Senate delegation, a conservative Republican, a liberal Democrat for a long period of time now? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Craig, looking still at those two senators now, Ron Johnson won his two elections. You know, it wasn't tight. It wasn't a huge margin. Tammy Baldwin did fine her first one. And then the last one, 2018, I was announcing the beginning of our election night coverage, and AP had already called the race for Tammy Baldwin. She won no problem. So not only do we have this split delegation, it's not even narrow races. How do we do this in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, part of this is kind of circumstantial and cyclical. I mean, Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have both had the good fortune to be running in cycles when they were certainly not facing political headwinds nationally. I mean, Ron Johnson got to run both times under a president in the other party, and it's easier to win a Senate race when you're in the out party because your voters are very motivated to turn out against the party in power. Tammy Baldwin, you know, her first 2012 win was the same election in which Barack Obama carried Wisconsin by 7 points. That was in her favor. And then her last race, it was the Democratic midterm. She ran a really good campaign. I mean, Ron Johnson has run some pretty effective campaigns, but she kind of overperformed beyond that, I think, for a combination of just her, you know, how hard she worked a lot of swing areas of the state. She spent a lot of time outside the Democratic base areas of Milwaukee and Madison, and ran on issues that, you know, like Buy American, that resonated outside those base areas. And she also faced a weak Republican opponent. So that's part of the story. I think the other big part of the story is that, you know, the precondition to the same state electing both a liberal Democrat twice and a conservative Republican twice is being a 50-50 state. I mean, if you're a Democratic-leaning state or a Republican-leaning state, then maybe, you know, then maybe you just might vote for a senator in the other party if that senator is, you know, a centrist, for example, or not in the, you know, the right or left wing of that other party. But Wisconsin, it's possible in a state like Wisconsin. We see in Pennsylvania, too, one of the other six states that has a split Senate delegation, and they have the most kind of polarized pair of senators after Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson, and it's Bob Casey and Pat Toomey, who's retiring. But Pennsylvania is also a 50-50 state. So I think it is a reflection of circumstances and cycles, but also just being an exquisitely even-Steven state.
I think at one point, Craig, there was a conventional wisdom that said, hey, if you're in a tight 50-50 state and in a two-party system, that's going to pull people toward the middle, right? You're going to get the people on your side, and you're going to stay to the middle and hope to get those voters in the center. I think it's fair to say that hasn't worked out in Wisconsin Senate elections or elections for governor or president, that Matt, for that matter.
Yeah, I think what we've seen in Wisconsin is, you know, if you're a 50-50 state and you're polarized and both parties, you know, choose as nominees, you know, more base-centric candidates, then it's just, you know, it's just which side gets over the finish line or you know, ekes out a victory or has better turnout or, you know, wins on the margins. And so you can be, you know, you can be a 50-50 state and not be a state dominated by moderate voters. I mean, you could be a 50-50 state with a lot of conservative voters and a lot of liberal voters. I mean, they're clearly swing voters in Wisconsin, but the turnout changes and the mix of voters changes from one cycle to another. So it's not just, you know, Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson. I mean, Scott Walker was a very conservative governor. You know, he won a bunch of elections and then he lost. You know, we've the same state has voted now for Donald Trump and Barack Obama. And we've seen, you know, more than 500 communities in Wisconsin in 2016 that had voted for Barack Obama twice, then voted for Donald Trump, and most of them voted for Donald Trump twice. So yes, it's not what you would think. It doesn't guarantee that, you know, that the battle, you know, is going to go to the party that nominates the most centrist candidate.
Talking to Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at President Biden's visit to southwestern Wisconsin this week. And some of Wisconsin's unique politics, the divided nature of politics, our odd couple in the U.S. Senate as well. So, Craig, you're just talking about the base strategy there. Democrats try to get lots of voters out in Dane County and Milwaukee County. Republicans trying to get voters out to the polls in the WOW counties, the ones around Milwaukee. How important is that versus trying to flip areas like our starting point here where President Biden visited in that swingier, purpler southwestern part of the state?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the easy answer is both things are important, and it's never just one to the exclusion of the other. But, you know, they're definitely not just base elections. I mean, the turnout in Wisconsin is so historically high. It was a record midterm turnout in 2018. It was a record presidential turnout this last time around. It, you know, a lot of those voters who are turning out, they're not all base voters. So, you know, what we're seeing now, what's interesting is a lot of postmortems about, you know, what happened in the 2020 election, who turned out and what was behind Joe Biden's victory. And it's pretty clear that one important element of Joe Biden's victory, it certainly wasn't just winning the turnout battle, because the Republicans had great turnout in some of their rural areas. So they turned out and Donald Trump turned out a lot of, you know, irregular, casual voters. We know that from the voter file. But one of the things that Joe Biden was helped by, you know, certainly not a historic turnout in the city of Milwaukee, one base area, a very strong turnout in the city of Madison, another base area. But I think more importantly, Joe Biden made inroads in the suburbs of Milwaukee and Madison and even in the Fox Valley a little bit. And those, you know, that's where you tend to see more kind of some more moderate voters come into play. And certainly the suburbs nationally were a place where Donald Trump lost ground in 2020. And Joe Biden did make some inroads. And some of the national studies have shown that, you know, some of the groups demographically that Joe Biden made inroads with were, you know, white men and moderates. And obviously, we know from the map, suburbanites. So I think that tells you that it's not just, these are not just base elections and turnout contests. In the case of Joe Biden, it was very important for him to make those inroads in some areas that had traditionally been voting more Republican. And so I think you've seen, as President, Joe Biden has, you know, it's a complicated mission and a complicated task, but part of his task has been to try to continue to kind of speak to those voters. I think Republicans would argue that he's not doing enough of that. And it's been, you know, he's playing more to the Democratic base. I think the Biden people would dispute that. But that's going to be, you know, an important dynamic going forward.
In our last minute, Craig, I mean, President Biden had a town hall in Milwaukee early in his term already. And now this visit to La Crosse. Do you expect to see a lot of love for Wisconsin from the White House, from Democratic and Republican groups, with the election for governor, election for Senate, and more coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the convergence of these two big, you know, statewide races that everybody expects to be very competitive. And again, Wisconsin's now kind of almost semi-permanent status as a top-tier presidential battleground, which itself, obviously, we've talked about, is extremely unusual. And every reason to expect it to be a presidential battleground in 2024. All those things, you know, I think add up to kind of what we've seen and what we expect to continue to see, which is a lot of attention, a lot of travel, a lot of effort, certainly from the White House and also from Republicans.
Craig, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us for a look at President Biden's visit to the state and at Wisconsin's evenly divided political landscape and our odd couple in the U.S. Senate.